Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts, as Pastor Jim Rennie continues to faithfully challenge and encourage us in the Word. And it is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's go to Daniel, Book of Daniel, chapter 2, reiterating what we've studied and then some, reading from verse 36. Daniel chapter 2, 36. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will rise, inferior to yours. Next, the third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron. Iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with the baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with the clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, Amen. Nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end. It will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision. Of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true. And the interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering, an incense, be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." And then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. May God give us understanding of his word this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do ask for your understanding of these passages of Scripture, regardless of what we may have heard. Give us your interpretation. Give us understanding of past events and future events that are predicted and prophesied in the book of Daniel. We ask that our minds would be open to receive what has been prepared for each one of us this morning, and those that are listening by radio or by internet. We pray you'll give us understanding. Teach us, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God answered Daniel's prayers and revealed to King Nebuchadnezzar his dream. What the dream was and what the dream meant. And then he was summoned in to meet the king. Daniel was careful to give God the glory. And we need to be careful to give God the glory. Amen? Amen. We should never take any credit for anything. He deserves the praise. He deserves the glory. He deserves the credit. Amen? Yes. He was summoned into the king. And then he told the king the dream that he had, that it could not be understood by any human being who's ever been born, no matter how wise they were. It was only the God of heaven that could reveal that dream to his prophet, his servant, Daniel, who alone was able to interpret that dream, not only to interpret it, but tell the king exactly what he dreamt. So only the God of heaven, he said, that knows, well, we know what's happened in the past. We know what's happened in the presently. But God of heaven, he knows what's going to happen in the future. Amen? And we can know what's going to happen in the future because it's written in the Word of God. We're given so much, we don't have to know it all, but we know enough to know what's going to happen. And this is what this book is all about. It's about prophetic things that will take place in the future, things that have already happened in the past that we know has come true. Amen? Yes. Daniel explained to the king that him in his empire, he was the head of gold. Remember, Daniel saw that vision of the statue. The head of gold, Daniel says, was the king, King Nebuchadnezzar. That him and his empire would pass away. Now, kings may rule and dictators may govern, like Adolf Hitler, for example, who said that his Third Reich would last for 1,000 years. Did it? No, it didn't. It's the God of heaven who gives power and authority to men. He raises up the leaders and he brings them down. This is why we need to pray for everyone who's in leadership, regardless of whether we like them or voted for them or not. It's God who places people in authority. He's in control. The God of heaven gives power and authority to all men. And all men are accountable to him. In fact, everyone is accountable to God. Mm-hmm. And one day, Romans 14:12 says that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Every one of us, we're going to be standing there by ourselves to give an account to God for the things we've done in the body. Now, Daniel explains that the head of gold, it would turn to silver, and then from silver to bronze, and then to iron, then the iron would be mixed with clay. This meant that the Babylonian Empire would be succeeded by all other kingdoms inferior to its predecessors. There was no greater empire than the Babylonian Empire. It lasted for hundreds of years. Now, Daniel gives no hint as to the identity of the other empires. He doesn't name them specifically. But we do know that the Babylonian empire, which lasted for centuries, was followed by the Medo-Persian Empire, depicted as the silver on the chest and the arms of that statue that Daniel saw. And then the third kingdom, depicted as bronze on the statue, applies to the great empire of Greece, led by Alexander the Great, who commanded to be called King of all the earth. But then he wept because there were no more worlds to conquer. And we have a world to conquer, church. Amen. The Great Commission, we have been commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah. There's a world out there to be conquered. There's people out there that need to hear the word of God and to repent and to be saved. Amen?
Yes.
Now, this fourth kingdom, Daniel interprets and told the king, it was hard as iron, crushing and breaking everything that came in its path. But in the final state, it would be a divided kingdom. This all points to the Roman Empire with the iron legs. But then it had a mixture of iron and clay, the feet of the image. Now here we have a combination, iron and clay, a combination of like a revised Roman Empire, a revised Roman Empire. That includes various world powers under the leadership of the Antichrist, the Antichrist. In other words, one day there will be a one world government. One day there will be a one world religion. I'm talking about religion. I'm not talking about born again believers. There's a difference. So this revised Roman Empire, a lot of the divines and great Christians believed, because it's part of the Roman Empire, that the Pope would be the Antichrist, a Pope, not the present one necessarily. But a Pope would be the leader of all these world governments, and that would include the common market and all that. I don't believe that. Antichrist will be the world leader. He is the world leader that will govern and rule, that will reign, and all these kings and all the world governments would be in subservience to him during the tribulation period. The church is going to be taken out before then. We're not going to have to go through the tribulation, by the way. We're going to be taken out, if you know anything about scripture at all. When God showed Daniel the vision of the image, and God showed him the image, wasn't Daniel's thoughts, wasn't Daniel's ideas, God wasn't concerned about defining what those four empires represented by naming them specifically, but to show the certainty of a far greater kingdom to replace all the other kingdoms on the earth. And what is that far greater kingdom? It's the future kingdom of God.
Amen.
The future kingdom of God. And we will be partakers in that kingdom because we have been born again. The whole climax of the vision was the destruction of the image, yes? By supernatural means. Not by human hands. It's a supernatural event. When a rock or stone, not cut out by human hands, it fell on the feet of the image and it crushed it to powder, to dust, like chaff. Is that what the word says? Does it? I can't hear you. Yes, it does. Of course, we know from history that there have been many world powers apart from the empires we've already mentioned. So it would help us to see that the image represents all the world government systems in general as being more political and cultural rather than the future kingdom of God, which is spiritual. Amen?
Yes.
That statue can represent anything on earth which takes the place of God in the lives of humanity, regardless of their race, their creed, their color, or their ideological beliefs in this world. All kingdoms and all powers on earth will eventually fade and die. Some have already, as we know from history. All will follow suit. Some people that are alive today have seen in their lifetime various empires fade, like the British Empire, for example. Regardless of the saying, the sun never sets on the British Empire, it did. Amen? It did. Now, that saying, the sun never sets on the British Empire, is not biblical, by the way. All right? All right. We need to remember that Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock, all right? Keep that in your minds. Now, Daniel here in verse 45, he says, this is the meaning of the vision of the rock or stone, yes? Cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. This means that the destruction of the image by the stone or rock, whatever term you prefer, it's a supernatural work of God. Are you with me so far? Jesus himself refers to himself as the rock. On this rock, and he's not talking about Peter, on this rock I will build my church. Amen. Petros, Peter, is a small little stone. He's not a rock. Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages, amen. Cleft for me. Amen?
Yeah.
Jesus is the rock. Jesus himself said here in Matthew 21, 42 and 44, the stone, rock, the stone, he's referring to, he's talking about himself. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Is there a similarity here about the image being destroyed and broken into powder, to dust, to chaff?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
This is the stone that will destroy all those kingdoms on earth and set up his own that can never be destroyed. It's eternal. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
He's quoting from Psalm 118. Which says, and he starts out, have you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected. Who was it rejected by? People, but primarily the Jews, yes? The stone which the builders rejected. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was rejected. He came to his own. Who was his own? The Jews. Because he was a Jew. He came to his own, and his own received him?
Not.
Received him not. They put him to death. Well, the Romans did. So we're all culpable. We're all guilty. whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. We're all responsible for Jesus being put to death on the cross. He was rejected. He was despised, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Now, it should be obvious from the scriptures that the rock or stone is none other than Jesus Christ, the Lord, who will one day set up his kingdom on earth. Now, we recite, we don't even think about it. We just do it parrot fashion, if you're listening. We recite the Lord's Prayer and we say, "Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And one day it will be. He's going to set up his kingdom on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on heaven as it is on earth. It's going to happen, Daniel said. He said, and this is Daniel 2:44, in the time of those kings. So when Jesus comes back, there's going to be 10 kings ruling at the time. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. See, all the other kingdoms on the earth will be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. All right? It's a spiritual kingdom. And when Jesus came the first time, in his humanity, we know that he was rejected by men, yes? And he was put to death on the cross, and he was buried, then he rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But there's coming a day, there's coming a day when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will return in power and in glory, and we'll be coming back with him to execute judgment on this world and establish his kingdom for 1,000 years. Read Revelation chapter 20. Millennial kingdom. He repeats it over and over and over again. He will reign literally on this earth for 1,000 years. Now, in the course of time, God will create an eternal kingdom. We're not talking about his earthly kingdom when he rules and reigns, when he comes back. He's talking about an eternal kingdom, all right, that will last forever and ever. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, about when he'll create a new heaven and a new earth, and we'll be living in the new Jerusalem. All this old earth's going to be destroyed. It's going to be burned up by fire. 2 Peter chapter 3, he tells us that. See, God keeps his promises. First time he destroyed it by water, didn't he? Noah and the flood. And he said, I'm never going to do that again. And that we see the rainbow, we say, yeah, there's God's promise. This is the covenants that he's made, the Noahic covenant that he made, that he'll never destroy the earth again by water, but one day he's going to destroy it by fire. Read 2 Peter chapter 3. Yeah. It's going to happen. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. This old one's going to be destroyed. You know? And this is what he said. It's going to last forever. Daniel chapter 2:44. It will crush what we're talking about. The stone, the rock. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever.
Hallelujah.
Forever. We're going to be part of this. You know, we're not just going to go to heaven and, you know, just wandering around and, hey, St. Peter, and hey, Paul, hey, Fred. All the, you know, the lost saints are going to be up there. We've got a great future ahead of us. You know, we're coming back with the Lord. You know, if you've never ridden a horse in this life, you're going to be riding, coming back on a, he's going to be riding a white horse, and we're going to be coming with him. You're not going to be able to fall off and get hurt. See, we'll have a spiritual body. No bruises, you know. It's going to be perfect. This is fantastic. This is what's going to happen. So regardless of what happens in this crazy, sin-sick world, we need to think about these things.
Yes.
All right? Forget about what's happening now. I can't even stand to watch the news. You know, I have to kind of watch a little bit to kind of keep in touch with what's going on. But it's so depressing. And I don't want to be depressed, do you? And are you depressed this morning?
No.
Hearing this stuff?
No.
Aren't you encouraged?
Amen.
Aren't you blessed to know Jesus?
Yes,
come on now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh my goodness.
Lord,
now, when King Nebuchadnezzar, he was blown away because no one, he didn't think anyone in the entire world could tell him what his dream was about or what was going to happen, and nobody could, apart from the God of heaven that revealed it to his prophet. Daniel, he was totally shocked. And then he bowed down and almost worshipped Daniel. And he said, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. We've been revealing mysteries this morning. For you were able to reveal this mystery. Now, the king probably meant what he said at the time about God being the God of gods and the Lord of kings. He probably believed that, and that's true. But it wasn't enough to help him repent and be converted and turn to the true and living God for forgiveness of his sins. Even though he recognized that it was the God who was revealer of these mysteries, that he was the God of gods and the Lord of kings. It was a head knowledge, which shows that people can still know and believe there is a God. The devil believes there is a God, and the demons believe there is a God. But that doesn't make them saved, neither can they be. So people can believe there is a God, or they can have some emotional experience having heard about Jesus and what he suffered and all that. And they can watch the movies and, you know, the Passion and feel really sorry. But that doesn't necessarily bring about a conviction in their hearts. It's a head knowledge that unfortunately doesn't guarantee a true conversion to Christ. The true born again conversion. Have you ever been born again?
Yes.
Ask yourself, have you ever been born again?
Yes.
When? The true born-again conversion can only be appropriated when a person believes by faith that Jesus died for them on a cross so that they can be forgiven of their sins. For a person to be saved eternally, they must confess with their mouths that Jesus is Lord. In other words, they have to believe in their hearts, confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. They have to believe that he is God. Do you believe that Jesus is God?
Amen.
Jesus is God.
Amen.
Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now I said, he was the Son, you know. He was a prophet. He was a good man. He was the healer. But God? I don't believe that. Well, then you're not saved. I'm sorry. A person must believe in their heart. It's not a head knowledge. They must believe in their heart that he rose again from the dead, having been buried. and they must receive him. Receive him as their Savior. Have you done that?
Yes.
Have you?
Yes.
I mean, it's that simple. Even children can get saved because the gospel is simple.
Amen.
And many children do get saved because they don't try to figure things out. They believe by faith what the Word of God says, and so do we. To some people, they're too intelligent for God. They're too intellectual for God. God has made it very simple. But evidently, unfortunately, it's way too simple to believe it. Nevertheless, it's true, whether they believe it or not. And every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Whether they believe him or not now, one day they will. And they'll bow the knee and they'll confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now let me close. Thank you for your patience. What a day Daniel had. What a day. He had one of those days. What a day he had. It started out being told by Nebuchadnezzar's hitman, Arioch, that all the wise men in the kingdom, including him and his three pals, were going to be executed if nobody could interpret that dream and tell him what the dream was about, or even tell him what the dream was. Everyone were under a death sentence, including Daniel. How would you feel? What did they do? What should we do? Pray. Is that what we do? Sometimes, and I'm human just like the rest of you, honestly. That's the last thing we do. You think, duh. Lord, I'm sorry. How come I didn't ask you about it first? How come I didn't consult you? Why, how come? Because we think we can handle it by ourselves and we're going to work it out like we've always done. No, we need him. So that's what Daniel and his three friends did. They prayed and God gave them the answer to prayer. Daniel, not the other three. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's the way Daniel's day started off. He was under a death sentence. How would you feel? Scary, right? That you're going to die if you can't interpret that dream? He meant what he said. He was a nasty piece of work, that king. And then by the time the day was over, that same king, and this proves is somewhat psychotic, he gave Daniel all these gifts, and he gave him, you know, expensive incense, and he promoted him as the chief executive officer of the whole country. And in the morning, he was under a death sentence, Daniel was. The same day. And of course, Daniel gladly, and Christmas is coming up, I gladly accept your gifts. In fact, I don't have to wait till Christmas. I like them all year round. Especially Joe's maple syrup. Of course, Daniel, he gladly accepted the king's offer. But then he had the gall to recommend his three pals be promoted as well. What a nerve! And of course, the king, who was so happy with Daniel, and he said, no problem, I'm going to promote them as well. And he did. He obliged Daniel. And we can say that Daniel was in the right place at the right time, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But there was more to it than that. He was in the place where God could use him. And he was more than ready to be willing to do God's will. And he took the opportunity to be a witness for God, the God of heaven, to that lost soul, King Nebuchadnezzar. He was a lost soul. Amen. Church, we've been appointed as God's ambassadors for Christ to be his witnesses. Amen. To lost souls. If we don't tell them, nobody will. They need to know who Jesus is. And just like God arranged for Daniel to tell King Nebuchadnezzar, God will arrange opportunities for you to meet people to tell them about Jesus, the God of heaven. God will arrange those opportunities for us believers to share our faith. There's nothing more powerful than our own personal testimony. We can share our faith with those that are outside the kingdom of God. You're either in Christ or you're outside of Christ. Amen? We can share our faith with those lost souls that are outside the kingdom of God. We can share with them the good news. There's a lot of bad news. The majority of this garbage that we're going through. What a year, 2020. More ways than one. Hey, Denise? More ways than one. All this stuff that's going on. But there's still the good news. There's still the good news that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Aren't you glad that he saved you? Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's close. Father, we are so grateful. We are so blessed. We are amazed that you would even consider us as sinners to take the time to leave the glories of heaven, the tranquility, the peace, to come down to this horrible, sin-sick world with full of hatred and violence. But you did. And you experienced that firsthand. You experienced the rejection, the hatred, the violence that was aimed at you, where you were flogged unmercifully, humiliated. Your beard was plucked out. You were slapped in the face. You were nailed to a cross. Your side was pierced. And you shed your precious blood to wash away our sins. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Father, we thank you for the promises in your word. We thank you that it's true. I hope and pray that we'd have understanding of it this morning, that we are so blessed, but we have a wonderful future ahead of us. This is just the beginning, and we're passing through, and one day we shall return with you as you set up your kingdom, and eventually we'll live in that new heaven, that new earth, the new Jerusalem, where there'll be no more sin. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no crime. There'll be no fear. There'll be no pain. There'll be no tears. And we will dwell forever and ever in your eternal kingdom with your church. The Old Testament saints, the Church of God, and the Tribulation saints, all saved by the blood of the Lamb, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. There may be somebody listening to this message. You've heard the gospel this morning. You need to know, not just a head knowledge like King Nebuchadnezzar. You may believe in God, you may believe in Jesus, but have you received him? Have you ever asked him to save you because you're a sinner? Ask him. Ask, Jesus says. And you will find. Seek. Seek him and you will find him. Ask and it will be given to you. But you need to ask him. He's not going to encroach on your free will. You need to ask him and repent and turn from your sin to the Savior to receive forgiveness and peace on earth and a home in heaven. I urge you to do that for your own sake. Amen.
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 Thank you again for tuning in. You can find our podcasts on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else you find podcasts. We'd love for you to join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 81 Foundry Village Road, Coleraine, Massachusetts. If you have any questions or inquiries, please feel free to call the church at 413-624-8886. Hope to see you soon. God bless.